Live we are. Come hella high water.
Yes, sir.
This is the RSC, the Ringside Club. Peace the Bug. He's out on assignment. You might tap in, though. See, in here with the triple threat. Today's triple threat. This week's triple threat. Live on YouTube. But, of course, as you know, if you've been tapped in before, you know that there's a show before the show, and it is called Survey Time. So, this week, ladies and gentlemen, this week, the survey has everything to do with the brand new AEW Collision show that was just announced just yesterday, and specifically the poster that they put out featuring some of the greatest talent that AEW has to offer. You would say Andrade, he's coming back. Miro, he's coming back. But one name in particular, Powerhouse Hobbs, who I have been an advocate for, shall we say, on this very here show, the Ringside Club. So, survey question to go around the week, go around the ring this week is, was I right all along about Powerhouse Hobbs being fine? Redundant question, so I'll just pass it to Ron.
I'm going to go with no.
Of course you would. Of course you would as well. Let's start the show.
Peace to the gods, the Ringside Club Pod. My name is A.O., say you're the Ron and Don. Blame Boogie, why you at it? Blame Chad Law. Kayfabe is dead, break the fourth wall. Whatever style, whether it's lucha or strong style, come through the beam, you fly, burn the ball down. Back to the pad, chop it up for the paw. Ringside Club, intro to the squad as the show starts.
Peace to the gods, of course, peace to the earths. You tuned in, and we are broadcasting live from the Empire Tri-State. We're on air like we usually do every Thursday night, 9:05 live sometimes. It's my favorite podcast, soon to be yours, the mightiest of the mighty, the Ringside Club. Once again, peace to Bug, he's out on assignment, but you tapped in with the triple threat, some of Queens and Long Island's finest. Before we get into the introductions and we go around the ring with whatever it is that we happen to be talking about this week, let's make sure you're tapped in with what we do. For starters, we're at theringsideclub.com. All of the past episodes right there, whether audio or video, all of the blog posts, specifically those law takes that drop, everything you need to know about us, we're right there at theringsideclub.com. If you want to chop it up with us across social media, you can tap in Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, follow, share, tell a friend. And of course, subscribe to the show. Like I mentioned, we're on air every Thursday, but we're on demand every time you need. Video on YouTube, audio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else podcasts are available. As far as myself, I go by the name of AO. There are no drops. So find me wherever you find me. Let's pass it to my mans and them, Ron. What's good?
What's good? You know what it is? Ron Dunn, your new RSC Predictions Champion.
Son of a witch.
Oh, congrats.
Man.
Congrats. I forgot. Congrats.
Son of a witch. Does it again.
Got the cape out tonight.
Yo, pardon me. What pay per view was that? Did you win that at? It was just a pay per view, right?
Yep.
Backlash.
The Puerto Rican joint? Backlash? Yo,
the Puerto Rican joint.
How does that feel like it was like a month ago? That was last weekend?
That
was like 2 weeks.
It was 2 weeks?
It was like 2 weeks now.
It feels like it was a month ago.
It's been a long week, bro. Everything feels like a month.
Word up. But yeah. My fault. I didn't mean to step on your intro.
No, it's all good. No, I'm still flying with my cape out. You dig? Catch me on all socials, Rondon PMF. Y'all see the shirts. See my man with the title. You dig? What's good, Chad?
Reigning RSC TV champion, Younger Dava himself, CHADLAW. I'm here, Ringside Club. It's It's been a slow news week outside of Collision, but we're here to talk some wrestling with y'all.
Yes, sir. Champions in the building.
We're here.
Champions in the building. All right, man. Call me the commissioner. Fuck that.
I'm going to bring this belt out every time, man. Every time. I got to let them know I'm the reigning RSC TV champion.
Yo, the real world's champion, Ric Flair, would have cut a hell of a promo if this was 1992.
With a tear in his eye.
With a tear in my eye.
Ron can have as many title reigns as he wants, but you know who's the longest reigning? I'm having a Gunther level run right now with the TV title.
It ain't Gunther level. It's Roman Reigns level, because you ain't defending a motherfucking thing, bro.
When was the last time you defended anything, bro?
And it's, yo, and I'm not mad, because it's a call out, and ain't nobody called you out, but you definitely ain't offering, like, yo, come through. You ain't Orange Cassidy. You Roman Reigns, bro.
Defending champion.
This man is Orange Law right here in the building.
It's like, yo, the belt is hot and in plain sight. Like, nobody's even saying nothing. I wear this proudly every week. Man. Every week, yeah. I show up to work and do it. You know what I mean? And ain't nobody said a thing. So
no
it's like
doubt. Chad Cassidy at his best.
Law Cassidy.
RSC TV champion is still here, y'all. Let's get into it.
Whatever. All right. So before we basically, like we usually have these topics, we go around the ring. We're going to talk a little bit mainly about AEW and Dynamite from yesterday. Because again,
let's get
like
into it. Let's get right into it.
That's how we do
it.
But let's talk about the news real quick. Let's just run down what's going on. First and foremost, rest in peace to superstar Billy Graham, who passed away yesterday. I think at the age of 79. Real quick, because I was listening to Busted Open Radio this morning. And just in clips that I've seen over, like, randomly, whether it be, like, a magazine clip or a picture or a promo that I would see somebody post randomly. I remember Superstar Billy Graham was pretty much done the year that I was born. Maybe, like, he had a match here and there, but 87, he was out of here as far as his in-ring career. But he's probably the most influential pro wrestler, at least from the standpoint of he influenced everybody that influenced everybody that you think is influential in the first place, including Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? So I'm probably going to do a deep dive. Might buy his book. I was listening to a lot of stories. But when you talk about Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan, Scott Steiner, for instance, Ric Flair gave it up, Jesse the Body Ventura, a lot of these guys took specific things, if not the whole flow. He's stealing my whole flow from Superstar Billy Graham. So we got to give it up to that man. There's a lot of information about him that I'm not, like, I can't speak on because I either didn't see or don't really know about. Same with all of us, but just got to give it up for somebody that was as influential as he was. Once again, long live the superstar. For sure. Probably the other biggest news item of the week is news that we've already known, but it wasn't official. But AEW officially announced, Tony Khan officially announced Saturday Collision, and it debuts on June 17th. As far as that, that's pretty much all the information that we have. We don't have much outside of a schedule coming up. It's looking like they're hitting Canada just before Forbidden Door.
That's a topic in its own that I feel like we'll get closer to as we get towards that time frame that I feel like we'll actually do a deep dive in. Right now, it's just all speculation and dirt sheet and this, that.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit. The bottom line is that June 17th is the date for the premiere of the new show. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it specifically because, again, like we've talked ad nauseum about 150 or so people that are signed or wrestlers that are signed to AEW. So if two live primetime shows gives more space for these guys to, you know, to actually, you know, maybe get a little bit more attention, then I'm all for it.
But period. It does beg the question, is Saturday night the better night? Like, is that the real...
I don't think it's a bad night.
Rampage is crying at 334,000.
Yeah, but Rampage is also pre-taped, so if there was anything interesting, you've already either A, known about it, or B, it didn't happen in the first place because AEW doesn't treat it like a priority anyway.
No, because they be bouncing Rampage around all the time. It could be
super undercard, which is what Rampage is going to turn into, which is cool, good exposure,
which is fine, which is dope. Like, I think, yeah,
that
I like
competes
the
with
fact
NXT
that,
damn near.
Yeah, I think that exactly. Yeah. It's like either an NXT or it's like a show. Like I've been watching when I've been working from home this week. I've had WWF superstars like from the 90s just on in the background on mute, not really paying much attention. And I was actually chopping it up with shouts to Storyline Tees. They had put a question out that basically says something along the lines of, does too much TV diminish the importance of PLEs and PPVs? And I said, for the most part, it's always been that, specific to WWE. It's always been that when it's been anything more than WWF superstars, in my opinion, because that show was basically a magazine. It was about squash matches, profiling, whatever you didn't see from a live event, and interview segments. That was it. So even if you were going to have a brand name wrestler versus a brand name wrestler, you had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But as technology moves and cable moves, you got to put these things on TV. So I don't know. Long story short, like, I think they're going to treat it as a priority. And I think that whether there's a roster split or not, it's just more time of priority primetime TV to see what, you know, what they can come up with creatively. So I like it. I'm tuning in. Moving on along, speaking about TV, there's two shows that both of us, or all of us, have been looking forward to. Dark Side of the Ring Season 4, that starts on May 30th, Vice TV. There'll be episodes on Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch, who is also Sonny. That's Sonny and Skip. Magnum TA, Adrian Adonis, Doink the Clown, Marty Jannetty, Bam Bam Bigelow, Abdullah the Butcher, Bash at the Beach 2000, which would be pretty cool.
This should be funny. That was a good one. I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah, and the Graham family. So I didn't count, but that's, you know, somewhere around 8 to 10 episodes right there. And that starts, again, May 30th, Vice TV.
Definitely looking forward to that.
Do you feel like Dark Side of the Ring may be reaching for episodes sometimes, just to fill in the quota?
Of course. I think, of course they do, but I also think it's like a matter of, like, you throw spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. Like, I think there's always going to be a good story to tell, especially if it hasn't been beaten to death already from, like, shoot interviews and, you know, random videos on YouTube. And there's a couple of them. Like, for instance, even Bash at the Beach 2000, has been mad talk about that over the years, but I'm assuming that they're going to be maybe coming up with either a different angle or somebody commenting on something that we haven't seen before. Doink the Clown is really interesting, I think, because there were like 5-6 Doinks throughout the history of that character, and all of them have their own stories. So yeah, of course they reach, you know what I'm saying? Like, they definitely reach.
I got something. I got a bit of a topic on this one, since we just brought this up. This is a good one, actually. Who do you think are some good modern new Dark Side of the Ring, since they're pretty much giving every wrestler their own particular episode? Like, who do you think is going to have one coming up in the next 5 years?
Or what would be interesting?
I'm in the next 5 years.
Let's do whichever one you want to do. Like, I already can think of, like, just shooting off the topic right now, I can think of a couple that I feel like if they had a Dark Side of the Ring, like, oh, this would be Muhammad Hassan would be mad wavy.
I got CM Punk off the top
of my head. Muhammad Hassan would be a wavy one.
That would be wild.
Yeah, you remember that? Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
05 against wild. Undertaker was trying to be Bomber.
I would love to see one on the Undertaker after, like, his career after the match with Brock, after the streak. And specifically, not even about the in-ring, but just about, like, the struggle between his decision-making on is it time or not. You know what I mean? Because he struggled with that a lot. And he's done interviews, like when he did the interview with Austin, and just different interviews here and there. But to really go into, like, all right, bro, we're kind of inching towards the end of your career, but you're not ready to leave. Why?
You're doing a lot of press, so I wouldn't be surprised if you finally caved into the Dark Side of the Ring.
That would be good. The two, like, biggest stories would be, like, the retirement and unretirement of Vince McMahon would be interesting.
Yeah, that's just beat to death. I don't think Side of the Ring is going to do that one any justice. They're just
that's what I'm saying. Like, that would be interesting, but I don't think there's ever going to be a proper really bio.
Maybe, like,
on
Randy
Vince.
Orton? Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Right, I can't see. The only other one, like, that comes to mind immediately as far as what would be the best story is the true story of what happened after All Out. And they're never going to do it because they're never going to talk. But maybe 20 years from now, somebody does. You know,
you think TNA is going to get a Dark Side?
Yo, TNA is sponsored by Raid.
A TNA Dark Side of the Ring would be fucking crazy.
TNA would be fire.
Jared version.
Yo, a Mercedes Moné walkout and Trinity walkout episode would be kind of interesting.
Could be one.
Like, what happened that day? What was the final straw? Like, what exactly was it that pushed that over?
That was a glaring one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, nobody's actually talked about that, you know? Trinity came the closest, and she still didn't go into detail. She just said, like, I felt disrespected, and I was out. You know what I mean? So
Tyrus being one of the longest reigning NWA World Heavyweight Champions of all time.
Yo, the NWA revival would be interesting.
NWA revival of the dark side of the ring. I'll drink to that.
NWA revival would be insane, bro. How is this shit still a thing? But yeah.
Only one I can think of is just CM Punk and the After All Out. That's it. Like,
yes.
Or just CM Punk in 2011.
Maybe the pipe bomb.
You can do three chapters on Punk. You can do Punk between like the ROH era Punk, the WWE era. You do four. ROH, WWE, the space between WWE, the UFC and all that, and then AEW.
Like Marty Scurll.
Oh, wow. Damn, I haven't heard that name in a minute.
Right?
You know what's wild?
He's getting the dark side of the ring in like 4 years.
The darkest side of the ring. And what's your man's you could do a whole dark side of the ring on speaking out in England and what killed you could, the UK wrestling scene. The UK wrestling scene post like NXT and NXT UK. So? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Post NXT UK, you can do an entire dark side of the ring because there's some horrendous stories to come out of there. Plus it was popping over there until it wasn't. And there's very specific reasons why it's not popping anymore, but for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, May 30th, Vice TV, Season 4, Dark Side of the Ring. And then July 28th on Stars, Heels, Season 2.
July 28th. You
fire show. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Heels. I love the first season.
Not to bring up CM Punk again, but he did a solid job in that as well. I mean, the whole He's cast in general.
I think AJ Mendez, formerly known as AJ Lee, is going to be on this season also.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah, definitely ready to watch another season of that. First season was fire.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that.
And finally, in the news, ain't really too much news anyway. It's just Best of the Super Juniors, the 30th. I believe this is the 30th anniversary. Best of the Super Juniors over in New Japan. As of today, I'm not sure which night they're up to, but I have to catch up and tap in. But other than that, that's the news.
Yep, there you go.
There you have it, folks. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, holla at us, man. It's the RSC, the Almighty.
I'm pretty much streaming everywhere, man. So tap in when y'all can. You know.
Word up, word up, word up.
Bug, much love.
Yeah, man, he's out on assignment. Boog's out on assignment.
Quail Man Boog.
Yeah, man. Word out. The former champ, but, you know, everybody's going to get another shot at the title before I get it. I know how this shit go. I know how this shit go.
Hey, yo, Danielson in the house.
Yo, I just do it for the love, you heard? Just do
it
for the love. All right, so AEW Dynamite was last night. We're leading up to Double or Nothing, which is in about a week and a half from Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's just run down Dynamite, since that seems to be the episode of TV that we all are in agreement that we've all actually watched and seen.
Yo, real quick, it feels like forever to get to Double or Nothing. It feels like it took so long to get to the pay-per-view, yo.
And we still got like, what, 2 weeks? Shit, feels like 2 weeks.
Oh, week and a half.
But you know what's crazy? Like, they're just now with this last episode, like, really fleshing the card out as far as official announcements.
Because like, there was a minute. This long to take to get to this pay per view.
But, like, this is what I was saying so long is that there's too much. Like, they can do six a year, I think, and be cool. Like, a pay per view every 2 months, like, specifically January and March and May and. Like, every 2 months is fine. It's long enough build. You have these two big TV shows now where you can have marquee matchups to fill the void. But 3 months, 3.5 months, almost 4 months is way too long when you have regular TV and you're not moving you're not pushing any stories forward. You're kind of just running in place. And
I feel like they're just trying to retain viewership by staying with just TV to make you to just anticipate the pay-per-view even more, which I feel like that is a clear statement. Right. You have to watch AEW television and just stay loyal and you'll get a pay-per-view every 4 months.
See, that's fine if they push good stories consistently and it wouldn't feel like it's dragged out.
Fair.
You know what it is too is I saw there was a clip. It was a somebody screenshot of one of the episodes of All Access, but there was a real quick clip of Tony Khan's the way he writes TV or the way that he books.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah,
and it basically is like a grid or a spreadsheet for, you know, on paper basically where he writes down this is what's going to happen, blah blah blah, and all the way back. So long-term storytelling and long plans are there. It's just that there isn't much veering from that or many bright spots outside of the big bullet point until we get to that bullet point, until like maybe 2 weeks out from the pay-per-view. Like the last 2 weeks of Dynamite have been fire, and we have like one more to go before the pay-per-view. But before that, it was like running in circles, gerbil wheel. You know what I mean? We're not really.
We haven't even got a Fyter Fest, Trouble at the Bubble, Quake at the Lake. We haven't gotten any of that.
Yeah, that's why they need those stops, like those checkpoints on TV, where if you're not going to do a pay-per-view every other month, you got to have something big to move stories along. Like this perfect example is this Pillars joint. Could have been a TV main event for a really, really big Dynamite. And then get to a main event with just one of them. Maybe Darby's the only one I think is main event ready against MJF in a singles match at the pay-per-view.
I've been looking at that feud every week like, yo, this is about to main event Double or Nothing. Like, I'm pretty sure this is the main event of Double or Nothing, yo.
It'll be in the main event slot, but reality is it's Elite versus Blackpool Combat Club is what people want to see the most.
Run it down, man.
Which I'm not disappointed with. It looks like that'll be a solid main event. Like, just to see them go against each other, I'm fine with that. But it's just to build to that, you know.
For sure. All right, let's start it up. Dynamite last night. You know what? I got a random question. I'm looking at the rundown real quick, and it's just starting off with who the commentators are: Excalibur, Tony Schiavone, and Taz. Who's your favorite, like, commentators right now in wrestling? Because I think Taz is probably mine. And I like the team of Schiavone and Taz and Excalibur, but who's, like, your favorite, like, just one guy or one gal as far as favorite commentator right now? Whose work do you enjoy the most? I think Taz might be mine.
As of right now, for now, I'm going to go with Caprice Coleman. He's so exciting on the mic.
Now he watches ROH. My man is watching ROH. He's watching that Fight Club.
Caprice and Rick Abani.
Yeah, Rick Abani. Yo, they're solid together.
They are really good, though. Ian Rick Abani is really good. They make you very much so enthused with the wrestling, for sure.
So for the last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, Caprice Coleman has been freestyling to Willow Nightingale's entrance music. He did that tonight, too. It wasn't terrible. Check it out when you get a chance. It's so entertaining, dude.
I'm going with a complete left field of Corey Graves, because when he gets mad at Kevin Patrick on Monday Night Raw, like they did this past Monday Night Raw, where it just sounded like he wanted to punch this guy's head off, I love it here. Awesome television.
Yo, first of all, shout out to Booker T, man. He sounds like the Kool-Aid man every time on commentary.
I can't with Booker T, yo. I just can't with Booker T on commentary at NXT, man. This is...
It's like he began in this zone where it's like...
My man's be good. The other dude, why am I blanking on his name? Todd Kelly? Kevin Kelly Patrick?
Oh, Kevin Kelly. Talking about from New Japan, dude? He used to be
WWE? No, dude in NXT. No, Kevin Kelly, New Japan, is actually really good. NXT, really good, too. Really good. But no, NXT, Todd Phillips?
Nah, Todd Phillips is Impact now.
No, it's Tom Fallahan. Tom Kelly. Tom... Yes.
I know
Tom.
Who you're talking about.
I look it up.
He filled in for Tom. That's his old name, Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
I hear his voice. He used to be on Raw.
He's with Booker T, and he does a really good job on NXT.
Yeah, I like him.
Booker T just be like, oh, God.
Nah, it's like every other word. Vic Joseph.
Vic Joseph is good money.
Well, Booker T is just like he'd be filling in. Like
Tom Halifan
is—he was the best that they've had.
Smoking in Impact right now. Yeah. Like
he was smoking in WWE, and I was surprised he let him go.
He could do Impact by himself without Matthew Rimwalt, and I'd just be just fine. Like I would just be like, "Yo, this is fine." But like the former Aiden English, you know, he adds some adds that heel to it. You know what I mean? But Impact's in good hands in the commentary section for sure. I think every company's got it. They've got a good niche. Somebody is really good in the position that they're in when it comes to the commentary, color commentary, and the play-by-play. Right. So that's a good up.
You know, I'm missing NXT Mauro Ranallo, man. I felt like he was like.
Yeah, that's that NXT. Black and gold era, man. He just wouldn't fit right now. This wouldn't be it.
Yeah. Yo, Mauro, I would bring in for like what they do with JR sometimes, where they're bringing in for the second half of the pay per view.
That would be fine.
That's Mauro.
Like, Mauro bring you in for like the title match. All in. Like, he's coming in for All In for Goldberg versus Sting at Wembley.
Nah, yeah, it's gonna happen. I know.
I know it's gonna happen. We're all willing it from our mouths to God's ears. It's gonna happen.
And the universe, man.
Word it's up. Happen. All right. AEW Dynamite kicked off with the TNT champion Wardlow. He comes down to the ring, and I quote: "Last week, Christian Cage made a lot of promises that I really want to see him follow through with. So here I am. Pause. Come out here and spit in my face. Pause again. That was."
That was heinous. Flag on the play.
That was nuts. But Christian Cage, Luchasaurus come down, and they basically jump him. And we're getting fast forward later on backstage. We're getting a ladder match now after Wardlow calls out Christian Cage, challenges him to the ladder match, TNT Championship at Double or Nothing. I'm with it. I like what they've been doing from the perspective of figuring out how to rehab Wardlow. I think it's been effective. Like, he hasn't had an edge again until like the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, where he comes out, he does his squash matches, and he leaves, and nobody cares. And then he loses and wins and loses and wins.
Yeah.
Now he's calling people out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's supposed to be a big ass tough dude that can whoop anybody's ass. And just needs and wants an opportunity to do so. So now that he's calling him out and calling out Christian in his specialty of a match, I like it. I think they're doing a good job. But I can't say that this is going to get him back to the level of over that he was when he was really, really over. But it's a step in the right direction, two steps in the right direction, in my opinion.
At this point, is Luchasaurus just the muscle?
Okay. I think he's always been the muscle. He was the muscle with Jungle Boy.
But, I mean, Luchasaurus actually performed in the ring. I felt like he was the muscle, but I mean, I really haven't seen Luchasaurus do anything since he came back. So I'm thinking like Christian was just the manager, and like Luchasaurus was going to be like the guy. Like, he was just going to be going on his own or whatever, like just fighting again. But as the weeks went along, I'm seeing this is how it is. But you know what? I'm not mad at it. Listen, I'm just seeing some good consistency here with Wardlow, because I think since he won the title, I've seen him in like two squash matches. And I'm like, yo, y'all can't keep doing this. So y'all got to give him some type of consistency. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just happy that Christian is here on the scene reviving Wardlow's carcass, pause, and actually giving a reason to become the TNT champion and be the heel champion that's necessary. We need a heel TNT champion, because why not have that champion that can be the stepping stone for somebody else that matters? I don't want to see Christian become the champion and then Wardlow win it back in 2 weeks. I feel like Christian is the perfect, like, yo, the buck stops here. Like, yeah. Christian can have some gold. He's credible. He's a legend. And why not? And when you look at the roster of Double or Nothing right now and the title changes that can happen, I think that's going to be the one, because there ain't too many on the card right now. If we go through the rest of the show, like, that's a title that can change hands at Double or Nothing. And people would be like, huh, he wasn't pinned. So, you know, a rematch is coming at some point. And Christian is going to heat up the TV, because like me, he probably won't defend the belt much. He'll just come through and just cut promos and just have Luchasaurus just beat people up. You got to get through Luchasaurus to get to Christian Cage. It's going to be a good summer for him. Instant classic.
Word up. Peace to Christian Cage. Top five heel in the business right now. Top three, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Turtleneck game on deck as well.
The turtleneck god. Mm-hmm. All right, moving along. After that, we had the international champion Orange Cassidy teamed up with 1/4 of the Double or Nothing main event, Darby Allin. They took on the former firm members, Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. Peace to Lee Moriarty. Peace to Big Bill. I thought Big Bill looked amazing in this match, by the way. I thought everybody did a good job as far as the match is concerned, but they had that tag match. Obviously, Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin took the W after a coffin drop. And then a side headlock takedown by Darby Allin, which was a little message sent to MJF. Of course, they had that match earlier, I don't know, about a year or so ago. We go backstage. Alex Marvez, he's backstage trying to get the scoop from the Young Bucks about Kenny Omega's condition.
Oh, I wanted Let's go through the top. Let's go through each segment because I wanted to go through this one.
Okay. All right, so we're back there with the tag match. Yeah, Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, Big Bill, Lee Moriarty. What's good?
What the fuck is Darby Allin doing here? What is the purpose of him being here? Just to get the pinfall. Okay.
Yeah, I guess the other guy to get the win. You know what I'm saying?
The firm. What is Big Bill doing here? Why is he not still in Impact Wrestling? He doesn't need to be subjected to nothing but losses and losses and losses and losses. The firm is no more, but here we still are. The firm tag team. I don't know what's going on here with the
question. Wasn't he like in a prep the cook segment from one of us a few weeks ago?
He damn near should have been because Lee Moriarty was right there next to him. He put on a great showing, by the way. Very good showing by Lee Moriarty. You know what I mean? I support dude, but they are definitely getting lost in the sauce right now, which is no fault, I guess, really to their own. Orange Cassidy, I feel like his days as international champion might be numbered. And I think just like the TNT title, that match will be one where a title can change hands because there has to be no pinfall.
You saw that from the segment that he was in with, I forgot the announcer, but remember he was like, yo, he's tired or whatever it is. So it seems like, I tweeted this, I think that same night. I wouldn't mind seeing Cassidy hold the title for the rest of the year. I mean, some people disagree. But
ooh, that's bold.
Yeah, it is. Because like I feel that's like because he has solid defenses.
Pockets is a champion for the whole year. For the international.
Maybe not, but I feel like they're gonna take the belt off him.
I love Orange Cassidy as champion, but you know, you do feel like his days are getting numbered.
Yeah, because like you see him in the interview, he's saying, yo, I'm just so tired, like in a really lethargic way. So it feels like, yo, he's probably gonna go made 2 or 3 more defenses, and he's like, all right, I had enough.
Winning the battle royal and then losing it after the fact, like just to be like, yo, he beat 19 other people to like, yo, this guy can't be beat. Yo, now he can't be beat, and then the next time it's Miro and he just crushes him.
I forgot Miro's back. That'll be dope.
Because if not Orange Cassidy, then who do you think could be the next international champion? Just run the topic.
That's Miro. Could be Miro.
Haven't announced the battle royal, so I'm just thinking it's going to be a who's who bunch of jobbers from Dark Elevation and like Butcher and the Blade, Kip Sabian, Serpentico.
I mean, it'll be like any other battle royal or rumble. Like they'll have, you know, the majority of people are people that don't have a shot at winning, and then there'll be like 5 people in there that's like, I can see this person, I can see that person. You know, Miro, if Miro's in there, you can see him winning. If Andrade is in there, you can see him winning. Any of the people that are on that collision poster, or somebody that you haven't seen in a while, somebody from, you know, from like, oh shit, like I haven't seen this person.
Really. Powerhouse Hobbs even.
He's not going to win it. But you can see any of those guys, specifically people that are coming back or returning you haven't seen in the ring for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, number one to me is Miro. I can see him winning that.
And plus, it doesn't hurt. Like if Orange Cassidy does, if somebody wins the battle royal, Orange Cassidy doesn't necessarily lose because he doesn't get pinned.
Yeah, that's the same thing with Wardlow. That's why I feel like it'll be the easy out for Tony Khan on that night to get a new champion, get the belt off both of them.
Well, different with Wardlow because Christian beats him.
You know, it's a ladder match.
But Christian still beats him, though. It's still one-on-one.
But it's a ladder. Like,
it's not a pin. I get it. It's not a pin. But if you hit somebody with a move, you know what I mean? Or you probably have interference, to be honest, from Luchasaurus. But either way, you know what I mean? Like, I think the Battle Royal might be interesting as far as storylines go.
It'll be entertaining. It won't be a boring Battle Royal because Orange Cassidy, a.k.a. Pockets, is in it. So it'll be fun. But I think it'll come down to the wire, and it'll be one of those like, no way he just retained it after that. You know? If not him, it's got to be Miro. On to the next.
Shit, going to Miro. Yeah,
peace to Orange Cassidy, the best champion in wrestling right now, because defenses matter more than length back of off. The reign. Bam. Moving right along. Backstage, Alex Marvez tries to ask the Young Bucks in the parking lot Kenny Omega's condition is. Blackpool Combat Club pops up from behind, paws, jumps the Young Bucks, throws him into the cars, face plants, all kind of shit. Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite right now. And we'll talk more about it later on, but just I think is the best thing that AEW has going right now. You know what I mean? Like, I like the heel Blackpool Combat Club. I said I was the one that said that shit from day one. Like, I love the way that they, little by little, attitude changes and cheating and all kind of shit. Like, fucking Wheeler Yuta's already one of the most easily hateable people, I think. You know what I'm saying?
He's definitely playing like the Weasley heel, like, perfect.
Easily one of the most hateable. I know, there was a thought, I wrote this shit down early this week, but, like, Blackpool Combat Club is, like, not necessarily in style, but in attitude, the equivalent of Imperium. Because it's, like, an elitist, no pun intended, way of looking at what pro wrestling should be. We want to create it in our image. Imperium, the ring is sacred. Blackpool Combat Club, we're the real elite in this business. It's the same shit.
I was about to say they're like
a nice feud right there.
A 2023 The Shield and what's his face is he's the leader now, but like a grungier version of The Shield. No combat shit. Like they just
It's all blood like that. We want to recreate this shit in our image.
They are combat, so it's like you got to figure combat is not a light word.
But I like it. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about it once we get into the segments later. Backstage, Renee Paquette talks to Wardlow. We already chopped it up about Christian Cage. They got the ladder match popping up at Double or Nothing. Renee Paquette, she's the MVP of this episode. She's probably in like every other segment. She's backstage with Orange Cassidy. That's when they announced. First of all, it was like Kyle Fletcher who had challenged Orange Cassidy and jumped him last week. So shouts to Aussie Open.
That was a really good match by Kyle Fletcher, who's becoming quietly one of, like, Aussie Open is, like, becoming my, like,
tops.
I'm looking out for those guys. Pause. But, yeah, I'm looking out for those guys. Looking out. Definitely checking out for Aussie Open.
Word up. 1/4 of the main event at Double or Nothing, Sammy Guevara squash match against Exodus Prime. Then he cuts a promo. He talks a bunch of bullshit. They really trying to babyface Sammy Guevara, and I don't get it.
Terrible. The crowd was mad polite, but at the same time, I'm like, not buying it.
He's unlikable, man.
And he was trying to make him likable with that All Access shit.
He was supposed to be a babyface, and he always is positioned as one from the beginning, from the first Dynamite against Cody to the JAS stuff when he was feuding with Jericho, but he's not feuding with Jericho. It's like he'd be trying to show glimpses, and it's just like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, nobody likes public displays of affection, and that's really what healed him up with what's his girl's name?
Ty Conti.
Ty Mello. Yeah, Ty Mello.
Ty Mello. Yeah, that's really like, once they started coming out and slobbing each other down on camera, nobody was down for that shit.
This guy proposed to his girl on an episode of Dynamite, if I'm not mistaken. Yo,
shouts to her, Milk Crate.
Yo, what?
Not Milk Crate, Milk Carton. Where is she now?
She just called his jaw a milk crate. This is crazy.
Nah.
She got milk.
Wherever she at. Oh, man. Yeah, yo. It's just like a lot of babyface activity that they just be trying to subtly put on us. And I'm just like, I'm just not here for it, man. He's too JAS for me. I'm good.
All right, we got Jeff Jarrett, Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal.
That's big, my new theme, by the way, too.
Big impact energy.
Sanjay Dutt took the biggest fall through that table off that stage.
Satnam Singh.
Satnam Singh. My bad. Satnam Singh. Pardon. Took the biggest fall through that
quick,
table.
Quick, too.
Jesus Christ.
They were out there.
Like a behemoth, man.
It's a tall dude, bro.
Yo, facts.
Even the dude. Ending, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to the new signee, you know what I'm saying? Karen Jarrett is all elite.
Yeah.
I'm sure we all saw that coming. This is how Jeff Jarrett slowly invades your company. You know what I mean? It felt kind
of
wild.
The carny, man. He's going to make it. He's going to make that paper. That's all
I felt kind of wild to see Team TNA holding up the tag titles at the end of that feud, because at the end of the Dynamite episode featuring FTR getting their heads bashed in by guitars. That looked like it hurt too, by the way. Just at least Dax's reaction. It looked like he genuinely, because he's got the baldy, so it's like, I imagine that guitar like on his baldy was like, yo, that was heinous.
It's not ballet, man.
Sami Zayn is 7'2".
He came through, ripped his shirt off, and just double chokeslammed him. That was like, okay, this guy looks pretty impressive now. He looks like he's doing something worthwhile. Not just doing the usual standing around the ring and tripping niggas. You know what I mean?
It's tough. When you have, like, giants, I don't really think they need to do – they don't even need to have that many matches. It should be, like, every once in a while this person is in a match. But other than that, like – because that's how you expose the fact that they athletically can't do much. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you're not winning a fist fight against a 7'2 nigga. So just have him be in a imposing presence.
Well, to tell that to Omos.
He's put the work in to get good.
Omos.
He's put the work in to get good.
And that's why, like,
he's also lost 3 pay-per-views in a row.
And that's why I like Braun Strowman, because he's like the only big man right now that can move really well in the ring, despite the direction he's going in right now, which is not terrible. But
you know what I always thought was interesting to Braun? Like, Braun is really, really, like, he's big for today, but he's probably about the same size as, like, Hogan, maybe an inch or two taller.
Let's see. I will research.
I think Hogan was like 6'7", 6'8". Something like that. Braun Strowman might be 6'10 tops. He's not 7 feet.
Braun Strowman is, wow, he's 6'8.
Yeah, that's Hogan. 6'8. How much does he weigh?
Let me see.
Because Hogan, I think, was like 275, just about 280.
His build weight says 385. I think that's be
all right,
less
bullshit.
That's
cap.
Be less than that.
No, that's cap. Ain't no 385.
Yeah,
that's cap.
Definitely not moving the way he's moving at 385.
That's cap. But yeah, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, teams up with Hikaru Shida. She makes her in-ring return. I saw a clip earlier this week of Hikaru Shida. She wrestled in the snow during some pay-per-view in Japan. She was just like crazy, like the whole, not the arena, but the outside in the ring was all covered in snow. She's holding up a couple of titles. It was kind of cool. But they teamed up against the Outcast, represented by Ruby Soho and Toni Storm, of course, with Saraya. Tag team match. Toni.
This was advertised as a sick woman.
Say what?
It was advertised as a six woman.
Yeah, because there's an act. What you call it? Is injured. Champ. Jamie Hayter. She's injured. So it was supposed to be 3-on-3, and she's injured. Or it's kayfabe injury. I'm not sure. Either or.
I'm saying, I hope
they talked
hope
at some point about.
They got a stripper.
Yeah, they talked at some point, like they showed her, like, getting her shoulder ran into the ring ropes and said, this is where the injury occurred or some shit like that. So, tag team match. But this led up to Ruby Soho, excuse me, Toni Storm calling out Jamie Hayter for a match at Double or Nothing, which I'm always down for that.
It's going to be good. Roles reversed this time. This should be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, with the face dynamic that Hayter has going on and the heel dynamic Toni Storm has going on.
You think the title changes?
Nah.
No?
I don't think so. Not at this pay-per-view. Not at this PLE.
I think it would be cool. The only problem is, like, again,
they already won. Jamie got one up, so it's only right. It's like she's about to go two up on Toni Storm.
I just don't know. The problem is that there's 20 minutes allotted for the entire women's division on any given show. So this is why, like, every time we talk about the women and we're like, put the belt on this person, I'm like, and then what? They're going to be another 20 minutes every week and nothing's going to happen. And then it's going to be like, all right, put the belt on this person. And it's going to be another 20 minutes every week. And then we're going to do the same shit until they actually have, like, this is the same feud, the same group of, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 women that have all basically done the same segment for 2 months at this point.
Yes.
Yep, not a probability.
No disagreeing there.
Mm-hmm. I agree, yep.
So it's like whether Jamie Hayter retains or Toni Storm wins, and then what is the problem?
I was like, what do you do from there? Like, you can't do this, you can't repeat the same thing over and over again.
Oh, but they will.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
It's going to be a triple threat next week with just 2-on-1, or it's going to be it's just a lot.
It's
going
to be some random shit.
Like, bro, like, how do you not have more than one segment just to weave some stories in a backstage parking lot? And, oh shit, I didn't know this person. Why is this person talking to that person? Wrestling is not that hard to book.
Jade Cargill? Why is the TBS champion defending on TNT?
I mean, why is the TNT champion on TBS?
Questions that need answering.
What's good, Tony? Speaking of Tony, next segment was the massive announcement about Collision that we talked about earlier, June 17th on TNT every Saturday night. Dope. False Count Anywhere match. Chris Jericho, Roderick Strong. This was one, of course, they battled all over the arena.
That was a fun match.
Fun. I had a hell of a time watching this. Yeah.
I was a little scared. I don't know if you remember when they got to the stairwell. And
those steps, right?
Yeah. Those steps, and they got on the little side, and it's like no barricade. I'm like, man, don't fall.
In my
please.
Mind, please don't die.
Yeah, it's
please
not a. It's not a far fall, but nigga, like.
You can't flat back.
Right. They're not young, and like, you're not, I don't think you ain't going to tuck and roll on concrete or whatever that was. So I was like, listen, do your spot and then get the hell out of there. But I enjoyed the match.
You know, Roderick Strong getting a decisive pinfall after hitting his finisher and then getting him on a clean break outside with the Adam Cole help, whatever, it's false count anywhere. That was surprising. Because I for sure thought that Jericho was about to take him down because Keith Lee already had an L that they've been toting that he's been holding. Courtesy of Chris Jericho. It'll be like, Chris Jericho has recently defeated Keith Lee. And it's like, damn, like Keith Lee had to catch a stray. And Roderick Strong, you know what I'm saying? Granted, it's his debut. It'd be nice. He had to get the victory, I suppose, but I also feel as though, like, this means Adam Cole might, now it's getting dicey for 50-50, you know what I'm saying, for a double or nothing. Who's going to take away the victory, Adam Cole, Chris Jericho? Because either Jericho's going to be nice and lay down twice with both of them, pause, or it's going to be Jericho beating Cole in the grandest stage of them all for AEW.
I think it's Cole. I think there's way more to gain from Cole winning than Jericho winning. Like, Jericho wins, and then what do you do with Adam Cole? You know,
remember what I said? Another 7 months of Adam Cole, JAS. And God, I think Roddy beating Jericho tonight, like, damn near puts that in fruition.
I don't think they can afford it because,
you
like,
think Jericho wants to give up those these L's.
Put it like this: if I'm booking this shit, what makes sense is. You can't afford, AEW can't afford for Adam Cole to become stale. So, nah, we can't put him in a hamster wheel with the JAS. After you've lost to the top dude, you're going to go and fight who and do what for how long? Like, we can't
run the gauntlet against Jack Swagger, Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, Angelo Dawkins, and Danny Garcia.
Adam Cole, again, is going to be one of those guys, or pardon me, the main dude and the dude that has to be positioned to beat MJF, at least in my opinion. So you can't afford for him to get stale and people to lose interest because by the time he gets to MJF, you need him to be gaining momentum instead of stalling out.
You want to bet that, like, you and I, or, like, maybe even me, don't even feel like this is stale? I feel like there's a few people that are, like, mad geeked about this feud that are like, yo, this shit can keep going. I feel like I'm in the minority.
I think it's cool for what it is now. I think if you draw this out for 3 more months, it becomes stale. Like, everything doesn't need to be this long epic, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think this is very cut and dry and simple. You know what I'm saying? It's just Adam Cole got the upper hand. And you also got to remember, they got a go-home show. And the JAS is going to get the upper hand on Adam Cole and Roderick Strong then. You know what I'm saying? It's classic pay-per-view booking where the person that's going to win is the one that has to take the fall or the loss or the L or be embarrassed leading up to the pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? So he'll get take the L. Jericho comes back and says, "I bet even you and your one friend can't match my eight guys or however many people are with us." And then he takes the loss at the pay-per-view, my opinion.
Oh, word.
Another so, 6 months of Adam Cole, Roderick Strong pairing up, because we still got Kyle O'Reilly to come back, and then we got to do Blood and Guts, and then we got to have JAS throughout the summer, and we got to have him have something to do.
Listen, I don't
Adam Cole. Adam Cole's stuck.
Nah, I don't.
He's gonna run there.
I don't mind that. It's just how you book it, man. Just don't make it like just boring. You know what I'm saying? It's just how you book everything. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, yo, even the best stories, Oh, this is amazing! I can't wait to see what happens next. At some point, stalls out.
Yeah,
and absolutely. This ain't the best story, so it'll get stale. But like, the best stories, at some point, is like, all right, what the fuck are we doing?
It's the same thing with the Bloodline. That shit should have ended at WrestleMania, and now you got Sammy. They like, I feel like just making shit up with Sammy, where they could have left it at him kicking Jey Uso at WrestleMania in that main event. So after that, Sammy's just now like just doing whatever, like just making some shit up. That's how I feel it is. That's where you should have stopped it right there.
I don't know. At some point, I'm tired of fucking grown adult therapy on TV. My nigga, like, WWE pays you, not Roman Reigns. Why do you give a fuck? Anyway, moving on. Back to Dynamite. MJF slapped the mic out of Renee Paquette's hand. I think at some point, heel or not, Mox is gonna
rip that man apart.
Like, yeah, he's gonna rip his fucking spleen out on TV.
See, there's a start of a story right there. You know,
bingo. Shit is not hard. What I've been saying, dog, all you got to do is either I want your title, I want your spot, or I'm going to see what's good with your girl. That's a feud. It's dead simple.
I mean,
shit is not complicated. So you just have this shit, and then whenever Mox gets off his heel bullshit and he gets back to a face, because MJF is never going to be a face, you just have like, I didn't forget when you blah, 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 and we good to go.
I forget when you beat me for my title.
Bingo. Yeah. Done. This shit, exactly. You got the title. You disrespected my girl. I'm going to see you.
There you go.
Jungle Boy defeated Roosh.
Fire match
for Roosh. Very, very good match.
Fire match.
If you sat through that match, that was a treat. It's a good one. You should sit through that match. Good big man versus little man.
Yeah, I skipped that. That was a fire match. I think, Roosh is one of those guys, man, that the intensity level is just a little bit higher than everybody else.
I watched
for
this guy. I literally just watched it. I was like, you know what? I want to see what this guy's going to do, because he's due for a victory or something. Of like, just anytime you get Roosh on TV, it's like, no, he just looks like menacing. He's going to hurt somebody. Right. And I can appreciate that.
Right. And I understand
Jungle Boy bled the hard way, looked like it hurt. And that backflip over the apron looked crazy.
Bro, he was this close, kid.
Yeah,
that was
close.
I didn't like understand it on Twitter as I saw the clips, but then as I'm watching the match and I'm seeing it like unfold, I'm like, oh no, that actually was like a little. Now the context of that move, just like, oh, that looked like it hurt. Mm-hmm. He got his ass kicked a lot of that match, so that looked like it hurt.
Yo, facts. When he flipped off the, he got flipped off the turn. At the ring apron. Like, Jesus Christ.
Jungle Boy could be heel soon, yo. If they're going to go Sammy face, Jungle Boy would be a really, really interesting heel. He grabbed the trunks, which seems to always be his go-to if he's not putting you in the snare trap.
I think Jungle Boy would probably be like, he's a really good heel, I think. Because there's like a heel. Smugness and an arrogance about him that's very, very, very like subdued.
That's what's missing.
Yeah, it's there. It's just that I think he's playing a baby face more than being a baby face, if that makes sense.
Him in a leather coat, standing in the corner, just like laid back, like with the mic, like, you really think that you're going to try me?
Exactly. If you strip away like the costume and put him in like some trunks or like you said, some leather or whatever. And you get rid of the Jungle Boy name, and now it's just Jack Perry or Jungle Jack or something.
That's his evolution.
Name. Yeah. I think he'll be a really, really
good. That's
his
Charizard.
Speaking a different language now.
That's when he goes from Commander or from Charmander to Charizard. He morphs up in the level. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
For real.
Green Ranger to White Ranger.
Right. That was there a good go. Move. Good match. Man. You know what I mean?
Fire match. Run it back. I'd love to see that again.
I think it just soured with the end of all of them coming out at the end. Just from a storytelling standpoint, I think this feud sucks. And I'm just going to stand on that.
Talking about the pillars?
There's four pillars. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like trying to, they really, really trying for whatever reason, last minute baby face of Sammy Guevara, and it ain't working. Like, I get it. I just don't believe that Sammy Guevara is a likable character.
It's every man for himself. We're all in it. Yeah, I've been duped by MJF.
That's the other thing.
What the fuck is
yeah,
going
on? Yeah,
that's
the other thing. It's a four-way match where I don't have an interest in you. All of a sudden, we got to team up to get the belt. Why do I care if you get injured right now?
Bro, I want you out of here. I want the belt.
All of a sudden, I got a conscience.
AEW doesn't usually do four ways, if ever. So this is like the first one they're doing. And just like...
Yeah, for that title, for sure.
Just like the triple threat with Kenny Omega, Pac, and Orange Cassidy. This is just that double or nothing filler main event title defense where it's like, realistically, the challengers don't stand a chance when you put this guy up here. But it'll be all right. And realistically, that is the main event, double or nothing.
I feel like this is interesting because these, like, pretty much these three guys are, like, you're pretty much your mid-carders. It's not your typical top guys. So it's like they're just trying to, like, just push them somewhere up there. And if not now, when? You know what I'm saying? So like, they're trying to give it a try. You know what I'm saying?
We'll double back for the pay-per-view prediction show, but who do you think is going to take the pinfall?
It's not elimination, right? It's 1-4?
Not 1-4.
I
think the interesting one would be maybe Jungle. I think if Darby Allin takes the pin, he's the one that loses the least. I think if Jungle Boy takes the pin, it could be the most interesting because it's like, all right, what's the direction? And like we just talked about, him with somewhat of an attitude change would be cool. And then Sammy is Sammy, like. Sammy, I just think, is one of them dudes just always going to be there, period. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's probably the least interesting. But yeah, Darby doesn't like Darby because Darby's gotten over from being one of the toughest guys on that roster. So if he ends up taking the pin, all he has to do is some wild shit next episode and he's back on. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with, I think I'll go with Jungle Boy just because I think there's a better story to tell.
Jungle Boy. Definitely feeling like Jungle Boy on my end. And because MJF only uses Salt of the Earth, it's going to be a combination of the coffin drop mixed with the GTH, and then MJF's just going to do what he does and get that pin. He won't even have to do a roll-up. Yeah, you're just going to weasel in and just like, whoever hits the last finisher, I'm just going to push you out of here and just get the pinfall. And it's going to be like, are you kidding me? We could have been this close to Sammy Guevara as champion type shit. And yeah, there we go. So we'll double back for our predictions episode.
I think I'm going with Jungle Boy as well. I was looking at the card, and it's not elimination. I was just trying to double check on it. Like how you were speaking about Sammy Guevara before, I was like, I don't think it matters if he takes the pin or not. Because if you saw All Access, you saw he was in like one or two big matches, and then this dude would be doing nothing for like 3 weeks. So it's like, you could do some, then you just sit him out for a minute. So it's like, give or take with him. So
is there a 1% chance that MJF loses? Not even to whom, but is there any chance whatsoever,
like
of believability, that MJF loses this match?
I don't believe it.
Nah, it's too early for him, especially with the competitors that he's going against. Nah, although they have this build up, you know what I'm saying, of however they're doing this, he's not losing it now. I can't see it.
I think the biggest question with MJF is like, what happens next? And there's no real, it would only be speculation because nothing's lined up yet, but what happens next?
And that goes back to slapping the mic out of Renee's hand. Like, they were thinking like us, like you can start something from there. That'll be it.
I think that's further down the line though. I think Mox is way too wrapped up in just just being bloodthirsty right now to go for gold. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's further down the line. Plus, like a heel clashing just wouldn't make too much sense right now. But
at least they're planting some type of seed, you know what I'm saying, that can always go back to. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because down the line, I say maybe not the next pay-per-view, maybe the pay-per-view after that, they can go back to that moment in time and say, okay, yo, you disrespecting my wife, and now I gotta put you in your place. So I gotta come back and take the title that I had for the longest time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm looking at this rundown. It looks like Renee was in at least like 6-7 segments. So shouts to her, man. She's putting in that work. Putting in
Next
that work.
Up.
Main event time. Absolute Ricky Starks. Juice Robinson in the corner of Switchblade Jay White. That is Bullet Club Gold. I you know, my thought before I even go here, Ricky Starks plus the three other pillars in that match, I think it's been like a pressure test from Tony Khan to see like, all right, this next group of people that everybody is saying should be up next. Because Orange Cassidy is good money. He would probably be in that same group. I think this has been a pressure test from Tony Khan to see like, all right, does anybody look ready, including Ricky Starks? And it's been shaky. I thought Ricky Starks and Switchblade Jay White. I mean, to an extent, because
bad booking
for who?
Ricky Starks.
Yeah, no, because I mean, bad booking in the sense of what? Like, what's his bad booking?
Coming off major wins, took the L to MJF, came off solid wins off Chris Jericho. Should be in the TNT title picture or the international title picture, or holding a title or a title. Been a prominent feud, and now he's just in throwaway feuds with Sean Spears and Bullet Club Diet, which is,
I don't know. Like, I don't think that the feud with Jay White is a step down at all. I think that's right where he should be. I think Jay, this is a good introduction for Jay White because he's going further up, and I think Ricky Starks takes the L at the pay per view, but I think that still keeps him at like a TNT or international title level. Like, I don't think Ricky Starks was supposed to be in the main event at any time.
Right.
Not he should yet. Be in the upper mid card of something. He should be a TNT champion. There's no reason he shouldn't be having a prominent feud with that. People have been clamoring for him to have a title run with something that matters for quite some time. Like, and those of us that have been with him through the NWA who know, you know what I'm saying? Like, mans can you can hold it down, and it's his time. It's really his time.
I think it's back to what you said, Chad. It's just about the booking, because they're putting him in these situations where it's like he's not coming out any bigger. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
pause.
Like, all right, pause.
But how is again, looking at it from the perspective of AEW is in the universe of the entire pro wrestling world, specifically partnered up with New Japan. How is Ricky Starks, who has never been a world champion, who's in a program right now with a former two-time world champion, a step down?
I'm not even saying it's a step down.
Yeah,
I
step
just
down,
feel but... like this is like wading in the waters right now. Like, what's
I mean,
what
yo,
else
everybody
we doing
can't.
There?
All right, if you take him, if you put him in the TNT title picture, then who do you take out? You got like everybody's people got to lose.
I could damn near take Ricky Starks losing to Christian Cage as the TNT champion, because that is a feud that I actually would be entertained by. Like, on the mic and in the ring, I would actually be entertained by that, which I think would be pretty good for the summer, which would be a step up more of what he's doing than just kind of
cool.
Just being on deck.
So, Ricky Starks, TNT champion against Christian Cage, where do you put Wardlow? Without saying that Wardlow is cooked and you got to you see what the problem is? If somebody loses and they ain't the champ and they ain't in the thing, you're going to say that they're supposed to be in that picture.
Wardlow's going to MJF at some point. Wardlow is going to go that route. I feel like that's even what should have been for Double or Nothing. I've been advocating for that for quite some time. I felt like they should have killed this Phil. This Four Pillars thing should have been Trouble at the Bubble in the summer, and Wardlow should have just went right into MJF to revive their feud again, because they
and
both could have used it.
And then when Wardlow loses, you do what with him?
I mean, we had almost 10 weeks of Double or Nothing. They could have had Arn Anderson cut amazing promos and dramatize and throw through houses and chairs and beat up people and security guards, and they could have killed time. That would have had some quite interesting segments, I feel like. The Glock, MJF. I just think that would have been, you know what I'm saying? I know the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but that's where I think Wardlow should have went right to this picture. It should have been the world title picture. And if anything, bounced back to the TNT title picture as time went on. But I think he should have just went right to MJF, and we should have figured that problem out, you know what I'm saying, as it went on. But
I don't know. I think, like, my only problem with this, with the Ricky Starks and Jay White, is not the fact that it's a feud. It really has nothing to do with Ricky Starks. It's just about how you intro Jay White. Because if you have Jay White come in and says, I've been here, but I signed here specifically because the best competition in the world is right here, and I'm starting with Ricky Starks because he's hot right now and he's on his way up, I'm going to make my name in America.
I like that.
Blah, blah, blah. Right. What that does, two things. That puts over Ricky Starks as somebody important that you're supposed to care about because this important person cares about him, right? And it gives a reason why Jay White is targeting Ricky Starks in the first place. That's the only reason that this shit isn't working. Or not that it's not working, but that's the only thing missing, is like the reason why or the motivation. Other than that, I think the whole shit is fine. Ricky Starks just beat Chris Jericho as far as his last pay-per-view match. He's coming off of that, and he's looking to beat Jay White. There's just no reason why they're in a feud right now that's been explained on TV. And that's the only problem, in my opinion.
Right. That ending was just bullshit.
Oh, I couldn't wait to talk about this one.
That ending was bullshit.
So let's for those who ain't see, Jay White was declared the winner by disqualification because throughout the match we saw Juice Robinson fuck around with Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks grabs a chair. He's had enough. Smacks Jay White with the chair in front of the ref. Ref calls a disqualification. Why didn't you like it?
Ricky looked like he could have just not used the chair. Chose to use the chair and then sat down and said, it's like, yo, dog, what the fuck was that? What was any of that? I get you have to give us a disqualification. It doesn't happen often in AEW. Got to build to the pay-per-view, but yo, dog, what?
Like, so was it a bad creative decision or bad execution?
Bad execution. Like, I just feel like it just cut away so fast. It gave me like that TNA, like, and on to the next. Like, it was like, yo, dog, like, you just like gladfully took a disqualification loss, so you're gonna validate it next week with a, I didn't care, I just want to hit him with a chair. Okay, thanks for coming. Like, did we really care about this? Like, what? Like you said, like, what is the story here? Like what? You should be wanting to get a victory over him because you are somebody who has had nothing but victories since you had a world title match. So it's like, make it make sense, man. That's it. It's my Ricky Starks rant.
I gotta go and watch it again.
Just pay attention to the last like 3 minutes of that whole segment with Ricky Starks and Jay White. Like, he sat down in the chair and just said,
yeah, I gotta go watch it again. I really don't have too much to say about it.
And I actually enjoyed the match. I'm not even gonna shit on this shit. Like, the match was good money. Strong match. But that ending was like, huh?
Yeah, it was. I agree. From the standpoint, I was so ready to argue, but I agree. It was bad execution. It was just, whether it be just bad timing or whatever. Like, creatively, I thought it was cool. The story there was, Juice Robinson is at ring. He's fucking with me the whole time. I've had enough, and I lose my temper. It just didn't look like he exploded or lost his temper or lost where he was for a moment or anything
right.
like that.
It looked like he had a thought. He didn't have to do it, exactly. But he did it.
It just looked like, this is what I'm supposed to do right now. That's exactly. So, yeah, I agree. But I also think that serves to prove the point of, like, a lot of these people that we think, back to that pressure test conversation, we're pressure testing to see if you're ready yet. Small timing when we lose the believability. This is all suspension of disbelief. And if for whatever, where we just like, ah, nah, you're supposed to be there, not there. That takes a point off of, yeah, he should be one of them guys.
That's fair.
Ready yet.
That's fair. I give you that. I definitely would give you that one.
Yeah, ain't ready yet. And then the last segment of the night, Tony Schiavone calls Don Callis to ask him why did you turn on Kenny Omega? Don Callis starts up and basically says something along the lines of, he's not the real victim of this. I'm the real victim of this. But we never get what Don Callis' reasoning was yet. He doesn't go into any detail because he was interrupted by the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club pretty much clashing. He gets out of there, and we see 3-on-4. Who's going to be the fourth person? Who's going to be the person to come to the aid of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks? We get the return of Snake Plissken from Escape from New York, a.k.a. Hangman Page with the eye patch. He pops back up, and we got the standoff. We are the Elite. So we have the Elite, fully formed, reformed. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cutler was in the cut later on after they went off the air. So the Elite, for sure, they're back in the cut. But the Elite, Blackpool Combat Club, and then it was announced that we're going to have Anarchy in the arena at Double or Nothing between the eight of those gentlemen. What do we feel? Thoughts?
You know they're going to build the whole Don Callis reasoning thing. I'm here for that. As far as the match, I don't think I've ever seen an Anarchy in an arena match that was trash, so I always feel like that's going to be fun. Elite versus Blackpool Combat Club. I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying? That's it. I got no other reason for it. I'm just here for us. I just know it's going to be like a super fun match. And I already called it was going to be Adam Page. Like, it just kind of made sense, you know what I'm saying, just to reignite, you know what I'm saying. And then, you know, Adam Page had to, you know, got his eye poked out by Moxley. So story makes sense, you know what I'm saying. So I'm here for it. Should be fun.
Watching Kenny Omega take bumps sometimes, I really understand why they call him Twinkle Toes. Because it's like, yo, his selling be hysterical, yo. His selling really be like, just watch back, like, after he took that DDT on the rampway and just, like, everything leading up until the Young Bucks coming out, which their selling was rather hysterical as well, too. Otherwise, I think Willie Yuta is going to take a one-winged angel from a very high balcony through something very unfortunate Anarchy in the arena. And
at the top of a Coca-Cola machine.
Yeah. He's gonna take a heinous one wing angel at that pay-per-view. You know, it's Moxley, it's Danielson, it's Omega, it's Page. You got the best of the best right now. Like, you really can't, like, this is the main event feud. This is the anchor of AEW right now. I'm cool with it. You know what I mean? This is what we got right now. MJF's tied up. Do you feel like anybody from this 8-man quartet will be next to see MJF?
Hard to tell. Well, from Blackpool Combat Club, no. Again, just because, like, a heel versus heel dynamic is not going to work without somebody being turned. And I just think, like, you got a good momentum going with the Blackpool. I think the more interesting thing is, like, what's the next target for the BCC? Like, what do they target next once they're wrapped up with the Elite? As far as the Elite go, like, there's any number of things you could do. You can run Hangman and MJF, which would be interesting. You could get back on the Kenny Omega as a credible singles guy, the god of pro wrestling. But I think they're also going to start paying off what this Don Callis story is. Don't forget that Takeshita is still somewhere in the mix.
True.
There was a part of me that thought that maybe there might be something weird with Takeshita last night. Hangman ended up coming out, but Takeshita's always in the mix. We also got Forbidden Door coming up, and there's always been rumblings of Kota Ibushi, who, if you know anything about Omega's relationship with Kota Ibushi, that's his ace. That's his man's. So there's all kind of different directions. So it could be a sense of maybe they run some kind of version of this at Forbidden Door. Maybe it's not 4-on-4, maybe some kind of thing. But as far as what's next, I could see, like, maybe Kenny Omega You know what I mean? I think Kenny Omega is probably
just get it out of the way. Kenny Omega, MJF.
I don't even know if it's a single, if it's a get it out of the, it could be a get it out of the way thing, but I think like Kenny Omega's next major singles run could be his last major singles run as far as like main event world title picture, just because of the nature of his injuries over the last couple of years. Nobody gets younger. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to pull a trigger, whether it be dream matches with Kenny Omega against people that you didn't think he'd ever wrestle against, there's so much money to be made with a Punk. When Punk does come back, a Kenny Omega CM Punk main event on some show is mad money right there. Throw FTR in the mix and some CM FTR shit. So all kind of things. But I don't think MJF's next opponent is anybody in this match. Not yet.
You know who I think FTR's next opponents are going to be out of this match? Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley.
I'm here for it.
I think that'll be some good. I could see them exchanging titles off of each other through that. That'd be some good feuding right there. Mm-hmm. And we also got to remember the ROH tag titles with Lucha Bros and BCC too. They have a tag title match, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that'll probably happen at the next ROH pay-per-view.
You gotta remember Claudio's the
ROH world champion. Who knows who his? I don't even know who his next challenger is. What's it looking like on that end?
Shit.
that's our honor club enthusiasts.
Yo, that's the wild thing because it's like
mainly we got a feud going on right now.
This thing's going on, but I don't see any like top card contenders right now. Maybe like because like the main event was like a tag match with like the Kingdom and Dante Martin and Andretti. So it's like the last match Claudio had on ROH TV was like a few weeks back, and it was for the title, but it wasn't even like the main event. So it's like it's kind of hard to tell. It's still entertaining, but it's a little hard to tell.
This is my last point. I'm going to end off on this one. Yeah. All of this, and Eddie Kingston should have just beat him at the pay-per-view just to go end up relinquishing the title to go have his surgery, and then Claudio wins it back.
I don't know. I couldn't see that because what type of sense would that make? Like just for him to win it and retain.
Because he doesn't lose anything by being stripped.
Yeah. You can go in that direction.
Yeah, he doesn't lose.
You feel me?
Finn Balor didn't lose anything when he was stripped of the Universal Championship. He's still the first Universal Champ.
It's like if we knew Eddie Kingston had to go, and this is the purgatory that the ROH World Title would have been sitting in. You might as well give us that pop. Let Eddie Kingston say, "Yo, I won the ROH World Title," and then, "Yo, I got to have the surgery."
Wasn't that Mania Weekend?
Cody wins it back.
That was Mania Weekend.
That was
Supercard of Honor Mania Weekend. Imagine
that's what popped it off.
Yeah.
Imagine Eddie Kingston and Cody Rhodes losing the same weekend. The fuck are y'all doing?
And that's really what happened, actually. So it's like, really, you know what I mean? We really seen it. So I just think that really could have been a cool moment for Eddie Kingston, even just to have Claudio win it back again. But shoulda, coulda, woulda. Star SC, man.
Word up. Any last thoughts before we hit this exit survey?
Let's get to it.
Yep, let's get all to right. The survey.
With AEW announcing Collision this week. Pre-pro, we talked about Raw, 3 hours. Tuesday, you got NXT, 2 hours. You can throw MLW in there on Tuesdays. I don't know what day they're on anymore, but let's just say that's three.
Okay.
Mm. They're moving Fusion. Fusion starting soon, actually. Fusion is restarting soon. Dynamite is on Wednesday. That's 2 hours. Thursday, you got Impact and ROH.
NWA,
and then Friday SmackDown, Rampage, plus another 2 hours on Saturdays with Collision. And those are non-pay-per-view and non-PLE weeks. So let's just say roughly somewhere about 15 hours of pro wrestling a week. That's the low end. Are you watching 15 hours of professional wrestling weekly?
I'm going no. Because I know for a fact I'm probably not tuning into MLW. I'm trying to ease my way into that, and I still haven't tuned into Impact. Still trying to ease my way into that, so I'm definitely not getting to 15 hours, and if you're giving me a choice between Impact and ROH on Thursdays, I'm going ROH all the way. And Rampage, I think Rampage is coming on like Friday at like 6:30. So Rampage be coming on at like different
random
times.
It'd be 6:30 on a Friday, next week it'd be
should
Saturday
be 3:30 on a Saturday.
Last week it was like 10 p.m on a Saturday, so it was like I
be getting a double feature at some point of Rampage and Collision on Saturday, 3:30 and then 8 o'clock, double showing type shit.
And that's three hours right there.
Wavy. Like,
Jesus.
And somehow somebody's going to slip up and say, last night on Rampage. It's like, nah, bro, it was at lunch.
Is that lunch? It's earlier in the day.
we just saw you.
So I'm definitely, right now, I'm definitely not making the 15 hours. I'm going to try and watch, you know, because it's the first episode of Collision, definitely going to try and watch it that night because, of course, it's the premiere. But after that, depending on what's happening, we back out. Listen, we back outside again. I don't know if I'm watching that shit live on a Saturday. After that, we'll see how, you know, the summer goes. But
it'll be good conversation for our Sundays though, because somebody will catch that shit. I know I probably will, because me as the RSC defending TV champion, La Champion, I'm giving yes, fellas. I'll be watching.
You know, I'll be the champ. You got put in the work 15 hours.
Y'all got to, man. I'm doing 24, man. It's light, man. I'm watching MLW.
Yo,
I'm watching
the
NWA.
Brand new 24/7 champ right here. Oh,
boy. GCW, I'm coming for you, nigga.
Yo. When GCW is mentioned on an episode, you know it's time to go the fuck sleep. Appreciate y'all for tapping in. I want to thank Lee Moriarty for his time. We'll catch y'all. It's the Ringside Club. We out.
Peace, y'all.